Appreciate your prayers.
Do we serve an amazing God?
Can we testify to that? And say, I still serve an amazing God. I think about the song that came first there where it said, He touched me. Yes. Can anybody else raise their hand to that?
Yes.
And know for a fact that there was a point in time in their life where God touched them.
Yes.
A significant moment in their life, if you will.
Yes.
A divine touch from God. I really need your prayers this morning. I'd like to talk about something today that maybe you could call it a reminder. I think of the scripture where bringing things to our remembrance. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, very familiar scriptures. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. I'd like to talk a little bit about grace. For by grace are you saved through faith. What does that mean? You know, a lot of people would say that grace is divine favor. Okay, unmerited favor. Something that the favor of God that you did not deserve, you didn't earn it, you didn't pay for it, you had no right to it really. It was only by the mercy of God that you were able to receive this grace. And I'm going to tell you that is what it is. Grace is every bit all of that. But you know, I think about it and I hear people talk sometimes of, you know, why did God love me so much? That I was in this position, or I was raised here, or I had this environment, or, you know, why did God love me so much? And to me, God loves everybody. It's not just you. Okay, it's not just so much that He loves you so much, and that He doesn't love somebody else that much. That's not what the grace of God is. It's not about you. It says that it was not works that gave it to you. It didn't really have anything to do with you. The grace that we receive is through faith. Faith in who? Jesus Christ. You know, and I think about it, and what comes to my mind is that we're riding in on His favor. He's favored. From the foundations of the world, He was favored.
Yes.
And we're favored because of Him.
Yes.
Because we have faith in Him. Because we're willing to put our hearts and our lives into His hands and trust Him. And avail ourselves of the grace of God. And, you know, somebody was telling me a while back that... I guess I call him Grandpa Probst. Kenneth Probst said one time that he had to learn to avail himself of the grace of God. And you say, well, what does that mean? It's kind of like the way I perceive it is allowing God to have grace for you. And it's not just allowing God to forgive you. It's not just allowing God to have mercy on you. It's not just allowing God to deliver you or give you an opportunity to go to heaven. But it's grace in allowing or availing God to have grace in your life to live for Him. Day in and day out. It's living for the Lord. And then that is grace also. It says that not of works the sinning man should boast. So it's not really of our works. But He also says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So we do good works. But it's not something we can boast about, or that we can say how great we are, or how favorable we are before the Lord. But it's because of what He does. It's because of what He's given to us. It's that touch that He touched me. It's because of the touch that God put on my life or blessed me with that I'm able to do anything that's pleasing into His sight. It's because He touched me that I even have an opportunity to be here.
Yes.
And to be here speaking to you. I really appreciated what Brother Ed said last night, in that let's not despise it.
That's right.
It's a blessing.
Yes.
It's a blessing to be able to serve the Lord.
Yes.
And do what He has called you to do. It's not a reproach. I'm thankful to be able to serve the Lord. I had a desire. So in the environment that I was in, I was able to serve God there. And I'm very thankful for that. And I had to come to a point where I was willing to serve God there the rest of my life if He chose to do that. And I'm not going to say that was an easy choice to come to. But it's what we need to do.
Yes.
It's where we all need to come to. Whatever the Lord calls you to, or whatever He asks you to do, we all have to get to a place where we're willing to say, yes, Lord. And not just a yes, Lord, I'm begrudging it, or yes, Lord, I'll bear under that, but yes, Lord, I know this is a wonderful thing that You have for me. And I want it. I want a part of this. I want to be able to live my life and to serve God. Well, I had a desire that one day I would be able to be out here in service to the Lord, because all my years out here were corrupted years. They were years of sin. And there was a time where I looked back on my life and thought, there was nothing good. And thinking that I'm about to enter off into eternity and there's nothing good. There's nothing really noteworthy. And I think of what we were said earlier about those who have gone on before and how you can remember them. And think of the blessing that they were to you. And it's not because of them. If they were here right now, they would tell you, but for the grace of God, that they were what they were. And so I had a desire that the Lord would allow me to serve Him out here.
Yeah.
And He's done that. He's right. Given me that opportunity. And I don't want to begrudge that of Him or create it as if it's some sort of a burden, you know, that I'm having to carry. That this is my cross. No. This is not my cross. This is the blessing. The toils and the struggles out there in the world and what we have to face in opposition of what the enemy brings about us, that is a cross. But serving the Lord is not our cross. I wanted to look at Romans 5 and 2 real fast. It says, maybe we need to read 1, 2. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Here it is. Through Jesus Christ is where we have grace or peace with God or justification, if you will, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. So this is telling us right here that the grace wasn't given to you because of you. But we have access into this grace through Jesus Christ. And we rejoice in that, in the hope of the glory of God. And so that's why I'm here, and I'm sure that's why many of you are here. Because the Lord had given you that opportunity of grace. You know, I was thinking about Noah and how it says that he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And, you know, you think about it, and essentially you could say he was the only one. And I thought, you know, if it was just about God picking somebody, if it was just about God deciding who to have favor on and who not to have favor on, why would it just be one? Right. And why would there be a concern that he was about to be the only one and maybe go off and there not be any others? If it was just about God picking somebody special. And I only say that to say that we got to be careful. Because a lot of people think that. They think that somehow that God just picks people special. And loves them more. And I don't want us to get along that mindset. Because you know what? It's okay for the guy that really thinks good of themselves and thinks that surely God will pick me. You know, I like me. I'm not sure why he wouldn't like me. But you know, there's a lot of people that don't like them. And for them, they might not think that God would ever like them. And so they may think that he would never have favor for them. Or ever decide to provide for them this grace. But it's open to all of us. Every one of us can have favor and grace in God. Because it's not about us. But about what Jesus Christ did and what he allows us to enter into. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, I believe, because he had faith in God. It says that we receive grace through faith. Now you say, well, Jesus wasn't there yet, but it was his faith in God. Abraham, righteous by faith. His righteousness came through his obedience unto the Lord and his listening to God's word and walking in it. And that was the grace that he received through his faith. And so that is the same for us, is the grace that we receive is through faith. And it's through Jesus Christ that we're favored. So now I want to ask you, is that where grace stops? Is grace just about you getting forgiven? Is grace just about you having mercy, the God giving mercy to you? Grace goes way past that. And that's essentially my burden tonight, or this morning, is that grace is much more than just God having favor on you. Amen. It's much more than them saying, I forgive you. I had an experience in my life early on where I availed myself, if you will, of the grace of God and allowed him to forgive me. I allowed him to have mercy on me, and I needed it. But you know what I didn't do is I didn't allow him to take me further than that. I was glad to be forgiven. I was glad to be delivered from the shame and reproach of the things that I had done. But I hadn't yet availed myself of the grace of God to serve him. Amen. And to live for him day in and day out. And that was something that I had to learn. That grace is much more than God just forgiving us. Let me see here. There was a song that came to mind And don't worry, I'm not going to try to sing it to you all. Number 115, just verse 1, mighty to save and mighty to keep. Grace like the ocean, boundless and deep. Will you believe it? Will you receive it? Life everlasting reap. You know that God's grace is mighty to save, but it's also mighty to keep. And pay attention to what it says. Do you believe it? Because that is key. That is very important. On whether or not you believe it. Because if you want the Lord or His grace to keep you, just like if you want it to save you. I mean, how do you get saved? You believe. You just got to trust Him at His word. When He says He's going to forgive you, you believe that. And you walk in that. And you have salvation. If you want Him to keep you, you need to believe that. Believe in Him. Believe that He's able to do that. Believe that God is able to give you the grace to walk in the path that He has set before you. And that path, you can put any number of things in that. You know, whether it's a path of forsaking sin or a path of service unto God. We need God's grace in every aspect of that. Scripture that the Lord gave me one time, and He didn't just give it to me. I'm sure He gave it to you too every now and then. But this scripture just all of a sudden blew up in my mind. I don't know if you've ever experienced that, but I'm sorry, I just dumped that over. Have you ever had a scripture just come alive to you? Maybe you've read it 20 or 50 times, but all of a sudden, one day you read it, and it just, oh, wow. Well, this scripture did that to me. It's in Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 28, wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. You know, when I read this verse, a lot of, you know, in the environment that I was in, it was very prominent that grace was just a covering, and it didn't do anything for you other than give you favor with God, and so He's just going to let you into heaven just the way you are, and you just come on in because I like you now. And so that was, I mean, it was an overwhelming pressure to believe that way. And I know that we're in our little niche here, and maybe we don't get bombarded with that as much, but it is very prominent. And they almost get to the point of accusing you for believing anything else. But this scripture, it says, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably. It's saying that grace is doing much more than what they're saying as far as like just forgiveness or mercy, but it's helping us to live acceptably before the Lord. It's enabling us to serve God. It's enabling us to resist sin. It's enabling us to walk in righteousness and true holiness, purity. Not by our own might, not by our own power, but by the grace of God. And it's not just Him closing His eyes at what we're doing and acting like we're doing right, but it's Him actually working the works within us. And it's not for us to boast. You say, well, you know, yes, the Lord has delivered me from sin. Yes, the Lord has enabled me to walk holy and purely before Him. But it's not for me to raise my hand and to boast about that I did some great thing, because I didn't. All I did was avail myself of His grace and allow Him to work in and through my life. And I believed Him for His power and His ability to touch my life and to make something better out of my life. I believed Him. And so if you want to lift me up because of that, because I had faith in God, well, I don't know what to say about that, you know. I'm trusting in a power way better than myself. And He's the one that's enabling me to walk acceptably in His sight. Let's go to Luke chapter 2. So this is in reference to Jesus. In verse 40 it says, "And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." You know, when I imagine this verse, my imagination goes to the virtue that just went out of Jesus and the things that he did. I'm seeing that this was the power of God was upon him. The grace of God was upon him. You could say the favor of God was upon him, but the power of God was upon his life. In the sense that he was able to speak to people, to stretch forth their hand or to rise up and walk. And he was able to do things in the power of the Lord because of the grace of God that was upon him. And a lot of times we can see little glimpses of it in the Old Testament where it says the Spirit of the Lord came upon them and they were able to do mighty works, if you will. Samson, mighty strength, when the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And the power of God can come upon us and enable us to do mighty things, things way beyond what we would have ever imagined ourselves to be able to do. And it's not a carnal achievement. It's the power of God.
Yes.
To the glory of God. If anyone was to speak, and I think of Peter, I guess it was Peter and John, when they told the man, "We don't have any silver or gold, but what we do have, we can give to you.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus Christ,
right,
rise up and walk."
Yes.
I'll tell you what, you better know the Lord told you to say that. You better have the grace of God on you right then to say that. But I mean, look what it does. When you're in the Spirit and you know what the Lord is telling you to do, or you know what the Lord is telling you to say, and you just say what He says to say, or do whatever it is He tells you to do, and look what God can do. And they maybe wanted to worship Peter and John, but what was their response? "No, you don't worship me. I'm a man just like you. It's not me, but it's the grace of God. It's the power of God that you've experienced right here." Let's go to Hebrews again. 4. Hebrews 4 and 16. "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace." Or let's come boldly to the source of power, "that we may find mercy and find grace to help in time of need." You know, the needs that we have are not just when we went down to the altar and got saved, but we have needs all the time. I mean, I don't know about you all, but my prayer life has got some needs in it, you know. When I'm praying unto the Lord, we have needs, whether it be my personal needs or the needs that I see that you all have, that I want you to be able to receive the needs that you have. But he says that we can come to his throne or the throne of grace and find help for those needs. We don't have to struggle and fight and beat the air with our carnal means. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. This battle that we face each day is not a carnal battle. But if we're to gain victory or to win against our enemy, we're going to need to avail ourselves of the power of God to fight this spiritual battle. It's not within us to do it on our own. You can't fight a spiritual battle with carnal weapons. It doesn't make any sense, right? That scripture makes a lot of sense. And so we need to be able to get a hold of the power of God that's available to us. How do we do that? You know, people would ask, you know, well, how? Okay, yeah, that all sounds good. The power of God, you know, but how do I do that? The same way you got saved?
Yes, amen.
By faith. We have to believe. We have to know that God is able. Not just that He's able, but that He wants to. That it's His will to.
Yes.
If we know that it's His will, then we know that we have the petitions that we ask of Him, right? What is that, 1 John? So if you know that it's God's will for you to walk in newness of life, in holiness and purity, and you know that He wants you to do the things that He's calling you to do, you know that He wants you to live free from sin, to be delivered from that thing. Not covered up, but delivered, freed. Then you have it. If you believe. Galatians chapter 2. Verse 7. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, for he that wrought effectually in Peter in the apostleship of this circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. The grace that was upon him. They perceived the grace that was upon him to do the work that God had called him to do. And they were in fellowship as a result of that. If God calls you to do a work, He will provide you with the grace to do that work. But I believe it was maybe Brother Marty's message, where the Lord had put him in some positions where he was at a loss for what to do. I believe one of them was he got up in the pulpit and didn't even have a verse that I know of. That is availing yourself of the grace of God, I'm telling you. You're depending on Him. You're believing that He's going to come through. Lord, I believe that You're not going to forsake me. You're not going to leave me hanging up here, but You're going to give me something. And I'm going to trust You all the way up there, and I'm going to walk all the way up to the top wondering, what am I going to say? And the Lord blesses it and gives you a message that was perhaps better than any of the other messages that you had. Why? Because of the grace of God. And because of the power of God. But we have to avail ourselves to it. He wouldn't have that testimony if he hadn't walked in it. If he had just kept his seat waiting for a verse, he wouldn't have had that testimony. And if we wait on the Lord before stepping out in faith, then it's like we're not really having faith, right? We're wanting to believe what we see. But But God's grace can give us ability. God's grace can enable us to do what it is that he's asking us to do. You know, many people, I think of those who are going out this afternoon to witness to those that are out in the streets and maybe trying to give them a light of hope. People might think, you know, how am I going to do that? How am I going to, what am I going to say? What can I do? Avail yourself of the grace of God and let the Lord help you. I remember going out and asking the Lord to help me to find somebody that I could talk to. I didn't know what I was going to say. I didn't have some script ready or anything like that. But I availed myself of the grace of God and asked him to use me. I wanted my life to be used of the Lord. And so I went. And, you know, he would do that. He would give me opportunities. And I didn't know what I was going to say. And it was good that I didn't, because I didn't know what I was going to face. I didn't know what their needs were going to be or what they needed to hear. And the Lord would direct the conversation and direct that interaction. And by the grace of God, he would do a work there. But in order to receive that grace, to operate in those situations, we have to have faith and allow God to do the work in us. Titus chapter 2. You know, if we keep it in our minds that we'll never be any better than we are, or that somehow we limit God and his ability to use us and his ability to work in our lives and in our hearts to be obedient unto him, or if we limit him in any fashion, or it's going to hinder his work or hinder his grace in our lives to produce what it is that he's desiring to produce. Just like I said, if Brother Marty had kept his seat and never came up here, that would be not operating in faith, or that would not be giving God the opportunity to do what he wants to do. And so if we have a mindset of denial and that God is not able, somehow it's just it surpasses him, and I'm not going to be able to do it. I've never been able to do it. And, you know, the devil can really bombard us with those kind of thoughts that, you know, I've failed so many times. I just don't, the Lord just can't do it. You know, I don't know why, but for some reason I'm not finding the victory that I need. Avail yourself of the grace of God and believe. Trust him and know that he is able and that he is willing, and he will give you the strength that you need to overcome whatever your battles are. Whatever it is that you're facing, surrender unto God. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us. Get a hold of this. The grace of God is teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The grace of God is not just forgiving us. The grace of God is not just having mercy on us, but it's teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust and to live righteously and godly in this present world. Right now. It's not waiting for you to get swept off into heaven and somehow in a miracle God's going to go against your will and make you pure and holy at that point. He wants you to be a part of it right now.
That's right.
And to have a desire for this in your life, this holiness and this righteousness, you need to be on board with that.
Yeah.
for it to take place in your life. And you need to avail yourself of His grace by having faith in Him to do the work in you. And I know it's a maybe a difficult concept to receive in the essence of grace to live for God. It seems like it's so much easier to believe that God is having grace to forgive us and to save our souls. But it's another step, folks. Mighty to save and mighty to keep. The Lord can keep you if you will trust Him and have faith in Him. One more thought that came to mind where the... Oh, let's go to it. Second Corinthians. Second Corinthians 12. So this is Paul. He says, I don't know, maybe verse 7. He says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." And I'm going to say, I don't believe this was sin at all. Okay? This was an infirmity in his flesh, maybe a weakness that he had. For the sake of an example, maybe he had a limp or had a hard time walking or whatever. Whatever it was, I tend to believe that it was maybe a vision problem. That he had a difficult time maybe seeing. And maybe he felt like it was hindering his ability to serve the Lord or do the work that the Lord would have him to do. And so I don't want us to get caught up in the idea that, well, God didn't save him. God didn't deliver him of that thing. Listen to the reason why. The Lord wanted him to trust him and to be in subject to him or to need him. You know, the Lord was doing mighty works. It says through the abundance of the revelations that he was receiving and what the Lord was doing in his life, he needed something to keep him humble before God and to remind him that he had a dependence upon God and the work that he was doing, because we could have a tendency to try to get about our work and think confident of ourselves. Well, I'm a pretty good speaker. I'm going to speak, you know, I'm going to really let him have it, you know, but no, we need to be able to have the Spirit of God speak. We don't want you to speak. I don't want to hear what you have to say. I want to hear what God has to say, because that's what's powerful. That's what's meaningful. That's what's going to change my life. And so Paul had to stay in that place where he was dependent upon God. He was relying upon God for his needs, the needs to do the ministry, to work the works that the Lord had for him. And the Lord tells him, "My grace is sufficient for thee." The grace of God is sufficient for you. Whatever your need is, whatever it is that you have a need of, whether it be to overcome some temptation that's bombarding you, or if it's a need that you have and getting over that next step or that obstacle of committing and surrendering to the work of the Lord, or whatever your need might be. Maybe it's a physical need that you have in your body that you need the Lord to touch you and heal you. You can bring all that to Him, and it says that His grace or His power, His ability to work in your life is sufficient.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, it is.
It's sufficient in you. "For my strength is made perfect in weakness." And so when we think we're weak, or we think we're unable, or we just don't have the strength that we need or the ability to do it, my tongue doesn't work right, Lord, I'm a stutterer, or my thoughts, I can't hardly get my thoughts together, and the Lord could clear all that up and use you in a mighty way for His glory and for the benefit of His kingdom. His strength is made perfect in weakness. When we're at our most need, when example, when Brother Marty came up here, he was in a great need. Maybe one of the greatest needs of his life, and that his child was sick, and the Lord was asking him to come up here and preach a message that he didn't have. It's in those moments that the strength and the power of God in your life is at its best. Because you're completely surrendered to Him. You're not thinking of any might or strength or that you could provide. And so you're at a point, finally, where you're completely at rest in God's hands to do His work. That He can work the works that He has in you. The grace of God is sufficient for you. And so my message to you today is that you avail yourself of that grace. Allow God to use His power in your life. In whatever capacity it is, let Him work in you. And He'll do the work. Pray for me.